Welcome back to The Good PM Life, the podcast where we explore the ins and outs of project management to help you excel in your career. Hey, I'm Sandy Lawler, and today we're going to dive into one of the most essential topics for any project manager, methodologies. Specifically, we're going to explore the top project management methodologies that can make or break your projects. So, you know, whether you're just starting out or maybe just even looking to refine your approach, this episode will give you the lowdown on which methodologies to use and when. So let's go ahead and get started. All right. So let's go ahead and kick things off with waterfall. And the waterfall methodology is one of the most traditional and widely known methodologies. So imagine a cascading waterfall. Once that water flows down, it doesn't go back up. That's basically the essence of the waterfall method. It's a very linear, very sequential approach where each phase of a project must be completed before moving on to the next. So what that means is you start with a thorough planning phase. This is where you get your project requirements, also decide on the resources, how are you going to execute the project. Then once that's complete, and only until that's complete, can you move on to the design phase. This is actually mostly about technical design. Then once that's complete, you've got your plan, you've got your technical plan, then you can move into implementation. And then only when implementation is done, can you actually test. And then finally, maintenance. So like I said, it's a methodology where each phase of the project must be completed before moving on to the next. You know, waterfall really is perfect for projects that have very, very clear objectives and very stable requirements. Your customer knows what they want. They've communicated to you what they want. So think of projects, let's say like construction projects or hardware development. And these types of projects are ones that you need a very detailed plan, and you can't really easily make changes once things are underway. So the big advantage here for that is it's very straightforward. You know all the steps that are needed, all the tasks that are needed to be completed, and the timelines. So it's very straightforward, and it's very easy to manage as a project manager. There's not a lot of things that are going to go left or right. So you know exactly where you are in that project lifecycle at really any time. But the downside is that it's very rigid. So if you discover an issue halfway through, it actually can be kind of costly and it can be very time consuming to go back and make changes. So keep that in mind if you're moving forward with the waterfall methodology. Next up, we have Agile. Now, Agile methodology is all about flexibility and customer collaboration. And Agile is actually particularly popular in software development, but it's actually also been adapted across various industries. So like, unlike waterfall, where it's very rigid and there's the requirements and planning up front and you have to complete one phase of a project before you move on to the other, Agile's a little different. It's very iterative. So what that means is that projects are broken down into these like small manageable little chunks. And these chunks are called sprints. And the sprints usually last about 2 to 4 weeks. And so within a sprint, you will go through all the phases of a project within the 2 to 4 weeks. And at the end of each of the sprints, you have something that's potentially shippable to your customer. And because of the way Agile methodology is structured, it really shines in projects where requirements are expected to change or where a quick response to feedback is critical. So I mentioned earlier that one of the best examples of a project that uses Agile methodology is software development. With software development projects, things change often. And what a customer might have originally thought that they wanted in the beginning may not be what they wanted at all. So you have to make changes and you have to be adaptable. So in 2001, a group of 17 developers got together at some resort out in Utah. And they created what's called the Agile Manifesto. And let me tell you a little bit about what this Agile Manifesto was. So this Agile Manifesto was made to protect the software developers. They basically wanted to change the way their industry, software development, worked for the better. They wanted to put customers first. They wanted to work in smarter ways. They wanted to deliver faster, more often, and even better. So the Agile Manifesto emphasizes individuals and interactions, working software, customer collaboration, and responding to change. So one of the biggest strengths of Agile is its adaptability to change quickly. It makes it ideal for very fast-paced environments because the constant feedback loop that that you get also means that you're always improving the product. But here comes the challenge. The challenge is that it can be challenging without a committed team and clear communication. If you don't have a committed team and clear communication, because things are changing all the time in this type of project, it could be super detrimental to your project. So those two factors are super important for a successful project when you're using Agile methodology. You've got to have A, the committed team, and B, very clear communication. Now let's talk about Scrum, which is a subset of Agile. So Scrum is a framework within Agile, and it structures work into set periods known as sprints. And I talked about that just a bit ago. Sprints are what? Manageable chunks of work. So a slight difference here is that Scrum teams have very defined roles. There's three major roles on a Scrum team. First, there's the product owner. So the product owner is really the liaison between the customer and your project team. Okay, they're the ones that speak on behalf of the customer. They are always in communication with the customer. And not to say that the customer wouldn't be maybe involved with your team, but they are there to be the voice of the customer. Okay, they basically represent customers' interests. All right, next is the Scrum Master. So the Scrum Master is typically the project manager, but they're called a Scrum Master. And they ensure that the team adheres to Scrum principles. Okay, they're the ones that manage everything. They collect everything. They work together with the product owner, and they essentially serve as the project manager on the team. But they're typically called the Scrum Master. And then lastly, there's the development team. The development team is basically the folks who do the work. So those are the three different defined roles in a Scrum. Now, Scrum includes specific events. We talked about this earlier in a previous episode. They have events like the daily stand-up. And that's, remember I told you, this is where the team briefly discusses what they did yesterday, what they're doing today, and any blockers that they're facing. So remember that the whole point of a daily stand-up is really for communication. It is an excellent communication tool so that everyone knows what things were accomplished on the project per individual, what things they're currently working on, and then really any blockers, so that we can work together as a team to help remove those obstacles in order for us to get the work done and essentially get the sprint done and then get the project done. All right, and the last event, typically for a Scrum team, is the sprint review and the retrospective, or lessons learned. And this is basically where they review the progress and then they discuss improvements. And they're going to do this pretty regularly. After the end of every sprint, they're going to take a look at what did they do well, what things could they improve, and then apply that knowledge and lessons learned to the next sprint. A Scrum is super fantastic for teams that thrive on routine and structure. It really does provide very clear accountability and also a framework for continuous improvement. Because you're constantly changing every couple of weeks, you've got to see an improvement. Now, however, when we talk about a challenge for each of these different methodologies, it can be challenging for teams that aren't really used to working very closely together because it really does require really strong collaboration and communication. Now, have you guys heard of the five phases of a team? So these five stages were originally proposed by a psychologist in the 1960s by the name of Bruce Tuckman. And he basically described how teams move through stages. The first stage is called forming. And forming is when people get to know each other and their roles. The next phase is called storming. And storming is when conflict and friction can come up, you know, as people's true characters start to emerge and then they start to push against boundaries. The next phase or stage of a team is called norming. And norming is when people start to resolve their differences. They can appreciate, you know, one another's strengths and also respect your authority as a leader. Next, performing. This is the exciting part. This is when your team is in flow and it's performing to its full potential. And lastly, we've got adjourning or mourning. And this was a stage that Tuckman added later. And basically, this was a stage to mark the end of a team's journey. So this model was proposed and created basically to provide some guidance to really enable their managers to lead their team through all of the stages. Because when you understand what phase a team is, you know what techniques and tools and tips to use to get them through those stages to where you're performing and complete the project successfully. Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break to share something that I think you're going to find invaluable if you're really serious about becoming a project manager. My book, The Comprehensive Guide to Becoming a Project Manager, is the ultimate resource for anyone looking to break into the field or even just level up their PM skills. So whether you're just starting out or aiming to advance your career, this guide covers everything that you need to know, from essential skills to insider tips and strategies. So get your copy today and take the next step towards becoming a successful project manager. You can find the link in the show notes below. Okay, moving on. Next, we have Kanban. Now, Kanban is actually another Agile framework, but it's with a twist. So Kanban is really all about visualizing the work and limiting the work in progress. So picture a board divided into columns like to-do, in progress, and done. So each task is represented by a card that moves across the board as the work progresses. So Kanban is very excellent for managing work that doesn't have like a fixed timeline. So things like service tasks or support work. It's also very good for teams that want to improve process flow and efficiency, because the visual aspect of Kanban really helps everyone see where work is really at any given time, which then can also highlight bottlenecks or inefficiencies. And because this flexibility allows teams to focus on continuous delivery, they can actually integrate into existing workflows without much disruption. Okay, but however, and this is where we come into kind of the obstacle of using Kanban. Kanban, it doesn't prescribe to any specific roles or processes, so it could lack that structure that some teams may need. All right, now let's talk about Lean. So Lean is a methodology that derived from manufacturing, but it's actually used, widely used really, in various sectors, including like things like software development and services. So what Lean does is it focuses on delivering max value. And they do that by eliminating waste and optimizing processes, because their goal is to create more value for customers with fewer resources. Did you know that Toyota actually developed the concept of lean? Really, mostly lean manufacturing. So Toyota actually recognized that inventory was a major cost factor for production. And so because they implemented lean manufacturing, they were actually able to reduce waste. Okay. And the largest waste of them all was excess material. So by optimizing that excess, Toyota developed this lean production. And one of Toyota's major influences was Ford Motor Works. They learned a lot from what Ford did wrong. So by taking a look at their own processes and also looking at other influences, they were able to create a very efficient, very lean, and a very productive production system. And by using this system, they produced faster, better, and above all, cheaper. Lean really emphasizes continuous improvement, which is what Toyota did. Also respect for people, and also reducing unnecessary tasks that don't add value. So another example is in a software project. Lean might focus on streamlining code development and reducing the time spent on non-essential features. You know, Lean can also be particularly beneficial in like very large organizations where they're looking to cut costs and increase efficiency. So the challenge with Lean is they have to maintain a balance between cutting that waste and ensuring that the quality and employee morale don't suffer. You've got to take a look at your takeaways and the things that you benefit. And last but not least, we've got hybrid methodology. So what that is it combines elements from all the different methodologies to fit a specific project's needs. Because sometimes a one-size-fits-all type of approach, it really just doesn't work. But that's where hybrid methodologies come in. So you might, for instance, use waterfall for the planning and design phases. Remember, this is where you meet with your customer, you get the customer requirements, you take those requirements and come up with a plan and a design. Then you may switch to Agile for implementation and testing. This is where you do, in the example of software development, you do code development and you test. You know, hybrid methodology is really cool because it offers a lot of flexibility to tailor your processes to your project's unique requirements. So for example, a healthcare project, it may require the rigor of waterfall because they need it for compliance and regulatory tasks, but they may benefit from the flexibility of Agile in software development aspects. The key really to successfully implementing this hybrid approach is to understand the strengths and the weaknesses of each of the methodologies and then align those with your project goals and restraints. You've got to fit the methodology with the type of project and the team that you're working with. All right, so the next logical question is, how do you choose the right methodology? Well, I mean, it really depends on several factors. The first thing you need to take a look at is the project's complexity. Is it a medium or large, major, minor? What size project is it? Are there a lot of different aspects or phases or different features that are going to require all sorts of different types of resources? Take a look at how complex the project is. Next, take a look at your team size or the resources that you have assigned to that project. That's going to be really important in choosing the right methodology for that project. Next, also you have to consider your client requirements. Are the requirements very detailed, difficult? Do you need to add more resources? You need to understand what the client is requiring for the project in order for you to choose what type of methodology you want to apply to that project. And then lastly, industry standards. You can find all sorts of information online. I always like to reference PMI, which is the Project Management Institute, because they're considered the GOAT of project management. You can gain a lot of information and knowledge in choosing the right methodology there. Waterfall, it may be your best bet if you're working on a project with well-defined requirements and a pretty strict timeline. An example that I gave you earlier was a hardware project or construction project. It's got very well-defined requirements and a strict timeline. So if you, for example, are looking at maybe a home builder, they've got very well-defined requirements of what they're going to include in the house and what they're not going to include in the house in a very strict timeline. Okay. On the other hand, if you are working in a very fast-paced environment where changes are all the time or very frequent, Agile or Scrum could be more suitable for you. And then for teams looking for more of a visual and flexible approach, Kanban offers a great solution. We talked about support work. That could be a very good methodology to use for support work. And then lastly, if you're focused on efficiency and value, like Toyota did, Lean could really be the way to go for you. But lastly, you know, don't really hesitate to blend those methodologies to create that hybrid model I talked to you about. That could be the model that best suits your project's needs. So as project managers, it is so important for you guys to understand these methodologies. And you have to understand them because you want to choose the right methodology. You have to choose that right methodology so you can streamline your processes. And it's important to streamline your process for your timeline. You can improve team collaboration. And ultimately, it can lead to your project success. But I just want to caution you. Methodology, choosing that methodology, is really just a tool. It's just how you use it that's going to make the biggest difference in whether or not your project goes well or doesn't go well. Well, that's what we've got for today. So that wraps up our deep dive into those top project management methodologies. So I really do hope you found this episode insightful and helpful whenever you're navigating your projects. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I would really love to hear your thoughts about any methodologies that you've used or really any topics that you want us to cover in the future. You can reach out to me by leaving a comment below. So until next time, keep managing those projects and making things happen. See you soon.